So 2 Samuel chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Backing up a little bit, just to give you a little historical perspective, you may remember that before David was crowned the king, King Saul was after him, had been trying to kill him, had chasing him around through the deserts, and David running for his life. And King Saul, but Saul's son Jonathan and David had this strong bond, this friendship that was the kind we all need in our lives. We all need a Jonathan type of friend that commits to be with you no matter what. And so they had this wonderful, powerful friendship. And because of that friendship, David said, no harm will come to your family. And he made this great vow and promise to Jonathan. So, but the Amalekites come up against Israel again, and King Saul and Jonathan go to war, and they get killed by the Amalekites. And so then David comes, and it's not a smooth transition, but he ends up on the throne. Israel is divided. Half the nation wants this other guy to be their king. The other half wants David. They duke it out a little bit. And soon David is king over all of Israel. And he's got Israel's enemies on the run. They are defeated or scattered. They're powerless. And so now there's kind of a peace that has come over Israel. And so we come to chapter 9, and David says, is there still anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. And the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet. And the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lo Debar. And King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lo Debar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. Mephibosheth, isn't that a fun name? Don't you wish your mom had named you that one? The son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold, I am your servant. And David said to him, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always. And he paid homage and said, what is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I? Jumping to the last verse of the chapter, verse 13. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, and he ate at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. We see some incredible kindness in this chapter. And there's a couple of questions that David asks that we need to take a look at. One is in this chapter. One is in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Couple chapters before, David is sitting in his palace and he's looking at the cedar-lined walls and the beauty of his palace. And he says, what can I do for God? He says, I want to build a temple for God. And of course, the prophet Nathan tells him, it's not going to be you. It's not going to be you. But he asks the question, what can I do for God? And then we come to this chapter, chapter 9, and he asks the question, what can I do for others? And if you think about these two questions, what can I do for God? What can I do for others? I think we could say it's really the same question. Because what we do for God is really what we do for others. And what we do for others should be what we do for God. I'm thinking of Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40, when Jesus says, he's asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like it. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, Jesus doesn't place one higher than the other. He says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. What should we do for God? What should we do for others? It's the same question. And it's a wonderful question. I think it's a question we need to be asking ourselves every day. What can I do for God? What can I do for others? Today, what do you have for me, Lord? And David's question showed a great love because Saul had made himself an enemy of David, wanting to kill him. He was jealous of David's popularity. And it was customary in those days for the king of a new dynasty to track down and completely eliminate all the descendants of the prior king. Because you don't want the son or grandson of the previous king coming back and saying, I'm the rightful king. And so it was the thing to do. It was normal to go in and wipe out the descendants of all the previous ruler. And so in asking this question, David is going against what is customary. He's going against the principles of the time. He's going against revenge and self-preservation. He's asking, what can I do for the family of my enemy? What can I do for the one who is trying to kill me? The family of the one trying to kill me. That challenges me. As far as I know, there's no one out there trying to kill me. If there is, they're doing a terrible job. Because I don't even know about it. But forgiving someone like that and seeking to do kindness to their family, that's a challenge to me. A great challenge. Now, David did this because he remembered his relationship and covenant with Jonathan, the father of Mephibosheth. And that covenant was made back in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And David's actions are not based on feelings, but on the promise of his word. On the promise of a covenant that he had made years before. And David didn't know that Mephibosheth existed. He had to ask this servant, is there anyone still alive of the family of Saul? This tells us that Mephibosheth was in hiding. And he wasn't even hiding at his own house. He was hiding at someone else's house. He was hiding because he knew that as a grandson of King Saul, his life was in danger because of the practice of killing off the heirs of the prior kings. But David says he wants to show the kindness of God. And this is a key phrase to understanding David's motivation in this chapter. David wanted to show someone else the same kindness that God had shown him. Again, this is another challenge for us. Has God been good to you? How can you show that goodness to others? How can you reflect that to be a blessing to someone else? Well, we first learn about Mephibosheth back in 2 Samuel chapter 4. And there we read, Jonathan, the son of Saul, had a son who was crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about the death of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And the nurse took him up and fled. And as she fled in her haste, he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. So what had happened was, as Saul and Jonathan are out fighting the battle, and they're killed in battle, and that news comes back through the land of Israel, when this maid, this nurse, hears the news, she knows that Mephibosheth is now next in line to be the king. And she knows it's her job to protect this 5-year-old child. And so she scoops him up and tries to go and find a place of safety, a place to hide. But she trips, the child squirms, something we don't know. He ends up falling, being injured, and is lame for the rest of his life. We should remember why Mephibosheth gets called to come before David. Can you imagine what is going through his mind? Verse 6 of 2 Samuel 9, he comes to David and falls on his face and paid homage. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answers, I'm your servant. He must have been terrified. When the messengers came and knocked at the door and demanded that he come and make an appearance before the king, in the back of his mind, he's probably thinking, I'm a dead man. This is where my story ends. He knows that I'm the next descendant of Saul and Jonathan. The knock on the door also meant that Mephibosheth was no longer hidden from David. He was secure as long as he was hiding. As long as the king didn't know where he was safe. But he comes and he falls on his face before the king. Always an appropriate posture when you're called before the king. A posture that perhaps we need to take when we come before our King Jesus from time to time to remember who we are and who he is. When you assume a position like this, it's clear who has power and who does not. Mephibosheth had a lot to fear from David, and yet his fear was not founded in reality. It wasn't founded in the facts, it was only founded upon his assumptions. Because up to this point, Mephibosheth and David had never had a relationship. And it was because Mephibosheth wanted it that way. He stayed in hiding. He avoided David to preserve his life. And yet he did so out of unfounded fears. And so we come to verse 7, and David says to him, do not fear. Do not fear. Can you imagine how those words must have swept over Mephibosheth like a comforting blanket? 1 minute you think you're going to die. And the next minute, the voice of the one who has authority over you says, "Do not fear. I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore you to the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always." Those words would have been cruel and meaningless unless David had given Mephibosheth a reason not to fear. David made a covenant with Jonathan back in 1 Samuel 20, promising to show kindness to his descendants. Apparently, Mephibosheth did not get this message. He was hiding. And David gladly makes good on his promise, though Jonathan now has been dead for some time. David says, "I will restore you all the land of Saul your father." And that's pretty amazing. Remember, Mephibosheth had been living at someone else's house as a cripple. And now suddenly he's given his father's land. Not just any father, the former king. The land that belonged to the former king. Mephibosheth knew that all these lands existed, but he could not take possession of them, because doing so would have exposed him to David. And then David promises, "You shall eat bread at my table continually." And this goes far beyond anything, any grace that anyone would expect. He gave Mephibosheth the honor of a close and intimate relationship with the king. To dine at the king's table was an honor reserved for only a few. You know, a similar promise is given to the followers of Jesus. Jesus told the disciples that they would eat and drink at his table in heaven in Luke 22. Mephibosheth responds in verse 8 by saying, "What is your servant that you should show regard for such a dog as I?" Mephibosheth didn't feel worthy of such generosity, of such an honor. He considered himself a dog, probably a dead dog, which was the lowest form of life in those days, a worthless, meaningless, insignificant person. All those years of hiding from the king and living in fear and living in poverty made Mephibosheth think of himself as worthless. But in addition to the land, David gave Mephibosheth servants to work the land. The food from the land was for the family of Mephibosheth, because he would be eating at David's table. And then jumping down to verse 13, where it says, "Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem. He ate always at the king's table, and now he was lame in both his feet." Interesting phrase to end the story of Mephibosheth on, that he was lame in both of feet. He's no longer hiding in fear of the king. The descendant of Saul is now living openly among the people of God, not having any fear, no longer in poverty or estranged from the king. Now he has great privilege before the king. And yet in all that, his weakness, his lameness, did not vanish. His life was far better, but he was still lame. David's kindness to Mephibosheth is a wonderful picture of God's kindness to us. We are Mephibosheth. We are all lame in one form or another. We are hiding, poor, weak, fearful before our king. We're separated from our king because of our wicked ancestors. We're separated from our king because of our deliberate actions. We've separated ourselves from the king because we didn't know of his great love for us. And yet our king sought us out before we sought him. The king's kindness is extended to us for the sake of another. The king's kindness is based on a covenant. And we must receive the king's kindness in humility. The king returns to us what we lost while hiding from him. The king returns to us more than what we lost in hiding from him. And we have the privilege of provision at the king's table. We are received as sons and daughters to dine with the king, with access to the king and fellowship with him. The king's honor does not immediately take away all of our weakness and lameness, but it gives us a favor and a standing that overcomes the sting and changes the way we think about ourselves. David's kindness and grace to Mephibosheth is also a pattern for us in serving and ministering to others. We are like David. We should seek out our enemies and seek to bless them. We should look for the poor, the weak, the lame, and the hidden, and bless them. We should bless others when they don't deserve it, and bless them more than what they deserve. We should bless others for the sake of someone else. And we, too, must show the kindness of God. Let's pray, shall we? We thank you, Lord God, for this picture, this story. And Lord, as we come to your table, we are invited to sit and dine with you, to have most intimate fellowship with you. You restore us to a position of honor and glory. And yet, Lord, we come in our lameness. We come limping. We come bowed down in burdens and cares and weaknesses. And Lord, we come incomplete. And in your grace, you still welcome us. We remember the words of Jesus where he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in nature." And oh, Father, we need that. We need your comfort. We need your peace. We need your yoke upon us. Thank you, Lord God, for providing the remedy for our sin. Thank you for the kindness that you've showed us through Christ our Lord in forgiving our sins and restoring us. We pray, Lord God, that every heart here would know and understand the grace and the mercy that is extended toward them, and that they would receive, and that they would be blessed, and know what it's like to live, to come out of hiding and live life in the presence of the King, and to sup, have dinner at his table, and to be restored as to our proper place as sons and daughters. And we thank you, Lord God, for all this. And pray your mighty blessing in Jesus' name. God, we pray your continued blessing on our fellowship and the meal. And pray, God, that you would again bless our mothers. And we pray, Lord, that the kindness that you have shown us, the kindness that our mothers have shown us, we would show to others. Help us, Lord. Help us, we pray. Amen. 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 How are we doing back there?